This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio. Hello and welcome back to the Eat Like Ruby podcast. I am Ruby Fraser, accredited sports nutritionist, personal trainer, online educator, and today we are going to talk about all things do's and don'ts, I guess we could call it, for nutrition in the new year. So obviously perfectly timed being early January, this becomes such a hot topic in the fitness industry, in the nutrition industry, but also just for people personally. Everybody seems to take some sort of approach with nutrition in January. And I have so much to say about this. So I want to speak to this today in two parts. One being, or the first one being, for people that are quite beginner, so you're like starting something for the first time in January, or even if you are someone that has attempted a lot of things in the past, whether it be diets, nutrition programs, challenges, gym programs, anything like that. If you've attempted a lot of things in the past, but you haven't quite found your groove, or you haven't found the thing that works for you, or you feel like you're in that position of constantly like trying this, starting again, and you're stuck in that loop. So you are still a beginner in the sense that you haven't really found your feet with the thing that you actually enjoy and can continue doing long term, which is a major thing we're going to talk about today. So the very first thing I want to say, and if you've ever been to a masterclass of mine or work with me before, I always want to point out to people to be open-minded. So often people will go out of their way to go to a masterclass, listen to a podcast, start a program, but they're still very set in their ways. And even though they've sought out this information themselves, they dig in their heels and they're like, oh no, that wouldn't work for me. Or I've always done it this way. I have to do this. I should do this. Whatever those beliefs are, this is where we really, really want to question, are they working for you? We see people get so adamant on something and so set in their ways and really digging in their heels on this belief. And this is where we really want to ask, how is that working out for you? So I always just want to point out to people to be open-minded. Obviously, I'm going to chuck out a bunch of things today, and we always want to just think about how it actually applies to you personally. There might be some things you take, there might be some things you leave, but I just challenge people to challenge themselves and their thoughts, and instead of just instantly thinking, no, that wouldn't work for me, just hear me out. So really keep that in mind. And the funny thing about that is, often it's the people that aren't getting the results that they want that are so set in their ways. Usually people that have found their groove or have found, you know, the nutrition and training strategies that work for them are still open-minded to hearing about new ones. They're open-minded to learning. They're open to learning. They're open to taking in new things and thinking, would that work for me? Should I change things up? And it's the people that aren't getting the results that get really adamant on like, no, I have to do XYZ. And that's where we come back to that question of how is XYZ actually working out for you? So we're going to get into that today, and we just really want to keep that in mind the whole time. The very first thing I like to point out to people after being open-minded, so the second thing, is so often, especially this time of year, but always, we see people doing things they don't enjoy in the mindset of like, I've just got to get this done. Like, I'll do this 8-week challenge, I'll do this really strict diet, I'll follow these really shitty protocols, whatever it might be, for that amount of time, whether it's a 6-week challenge, an 8-week challenge, a 12-week thing, whatever that might be, people get into that mindset of just got to tough it out, just got to get it done. And I have so much to say about that. But the two things that happen here is sometimes we get the results. Sometimes people will knuckle down, tough it out for those 6 weeks, those 8 weeks, whatever it is. And that is awesome. But the two things that tend to happen is if we do even get that temporary result when we get to the end of the 8 weeks and we feel great, usually that has happened from cutting out a lot of things, from restricting a lot of things, and we've built up this hype to, I can't wait for this 8 weeks to be done so I can go out for tea again, so I can eat my favorite food again, so I can do all of those things again. And quite quickly, that temporary success is gone and we go backwards and we lose all those results we initially got. So it happens in the sense that people can't wait to bring those things back in, but it also happens in the sense that people don't know how to bring those things back in. If we go into, like I said, a really restrictive diet or an 8-week challenge or something where it's one size fits all, these are the rules, this is what we have to do, and we knuckle down and we do that, we haven't been taught anything. And you guys will learn very quickly that I am the biggest advocate of nutrition education, because we are going to be eating for the rest of our lives. So if we've adjusted our whole life for those 8 weeks, and I'm going to elaborate on this a little bit more in a second. If we've adjusted our whole life to just get it done and tough out those 8 weeks, we get to that point where it's like, what happens in week 9? What happens when we do want to eat our favorite foods again? What happens when we do want to go out for tea? If we think about that fact of we are going to be eating for the rest of our life is going to include going out for dinner, going on holidays, having birthdays, having special occasions, having all of these things. If our nutrition approach has simply been like, these are the rules, this is what we have to do, we haven't been taught how to navigate all aspects of our life. And our life is also going to have times where nutrition can't be the number one priority. Having really strict, aggressive, restrictive things in place simply isn't sustainable at that time. If we think about times in our life where we're busy, we've got a lot on with our study, we've got a lot on with our kids, we might just have a shitty week where, you know, someone's sick, someone's in hospital, like we're literally just running around, and a very restrictive, like one size fits all approach where it's just like we have to do these things just isn't achievable during those times. So when we start to piece all this together, if we've spent, we'll just use 8 weeks as the example. If we've spent 8 weeks knuckling down, doing all the things that we have to do, should do, really restrictive just to get a particular result, but then we start to come out of that 8 weeks, and live the rest of our life, and those things naturally come up, the good things like holidays, birthdays, dinners, but also just the time-consuming things like I said, shitty weeks, busy weeks. We have to know how to navigate all of those things with our nutrition. One thing we see with these really restrictive approaches, like an 8-week challenge, is a lot of people, and this can be awesome, but a lot of people will get their whole family on board. They'll adjust their whole lifestyle to, like I said, get it done. So it might be something like getting up an hour earlier, getting your husband to pick up your kids so you can get to a particular gym class, making a separate meal to the rest of your family, anything like that where you're like knuckling down, getting it done. And like I said, you've got the whole family on board, everyone's supportive, it's wicked. This is where we really want to look and think, okay, cool, if we did pull all of that off for 8 weeks, can we do it forever? If we think about the fact that, like I said, maybe your husband has adjusted his roster so he can pick up the kids, so you can get to gym, at some point he's probably going to be like, I can't keep doing this. Like, my work doesn't allow for this, whatever. You're then left in a position where success looks like doing all of these crazy things. When your husband brings it to you, and this is just an example, but when your husband brings it to you and says, I can no longer do this, you instantly think, well, fuck, I'm going to fail because success is doing this. It's actually not practical for us to continue living our life like this. Therefore, I'm losing the success with this thing. So that's just an example. But like I said, people do this in terms of cooking separate meals to their family. And for a while, even for the whole 8 weeks, you might be quite motivated. It's awesome. I'm doing my meals. I'm killing it. If we think about that fact that we're going to be eating for the rest of our lives, are we going to do that for the rest of our life? At some point, the novelty wears off and you're just like, I've had a busy day, I've got a million things on, there's shit everywhere, and now I've got to cook a million different meals because I've programmed myself to think that success is doing this, and I haven't actually learned enough about nutrition and gained that education to really structure it to suit me and my lifestyle. So if you are someone that would consider themselves a beginner, whether you are just getting started or you are still really trying to find your groove, and you think that the only thing you can do going into the new year is join something really restrictive, is knuckle back down and do something crazy, we just want to come back to, like I said at the start, being open-minded and making that realistic assessment of how that would really play out for you and your life long-term. The thing we see with these challenges, and a lot of people don't want to acknowledge this, but the fact is they're almost built this way on purpose. People do these things, they get a bit of a temporary result, they then condition themselves to think that worked for me, quote unquote. They then realize that in terms of living the rest of their life, it's not really going to work long term. So they slowly start to fall off track. And then the gym or the program or whatever it is conveniently has another one coming, and you're like, shit, yeah, I'll do that again because it, quote unquote, worked for me. And this is where we see people in this constant loop of spending 6 or 8 weeks restricting, cutting things out, living a crazy lifestyle, slowly coming out the other side of it, falling off track, undoing the results, joining back up, restricting again. And we literally get stuck in that loop for such a long time. And we see people do this in so many ways, not just with challenges, but just in that typical, I'll start again on Monday, I'll start again next week, I'll start again in the new year. People think that that has to be doing something really shitty, something really restrictive. And then, like I said, it just ends in that loop where we're constantly starting again. And that's where I would say people are somewhat of a beginner, or we fall into that beginner category, because we haven't found the thing that we can actually do where we're not constantly starting again. So my biggest piece of advice to people in that position would, A, like I said, be open-minded. B, drop the expected timeframes. And what I mean by this is people get really excited about getting a result in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. But this is where we really want to make that realistic assessment, like I said, and say, you know, I'm so adamant on getting this result in 8 weeks, but do I actually get it? And more importantly, do I keep it? So if we do knuckle down and we do this challenge and we get a result, but then we fall out of all of the habits and the shitty requirements of that challenge and we lose that result, we haven't got it anyway. So when we say to people, be open-minded, be open to learning, all of these things, this is where we come back to people digging in their heels and being really adamant of like, no, 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 I'm going to knuckle down. I'm going to cut everything out. I'm going to get this result. I want it now. I want it quickly. But you don't actually get it that quickly, and you definitely don't keep it because it's not realistic. It's not sustainable. So drop that expected time frame of like, I need to achieve X, Y, Z in 8 weeks. And instead, like I said, be open-minded. But more importantly than anything, seek education. I literally could sit here and talk all day about nutrition education. Like, I'm such an advocate for it because we want people to feel like they understand nutrition enough to structure it to suit whatever's happening in their life. If we do have birthdays, holidays, weddings, all of those things, if we do have shitty weeks where we just cannot get to the gym, we've got to prioritize other things. We don't want to be in this position where a good week is only when everything works in our favor and we can control everything and we can pull off really crazy protocols. And then if we can't do that, we've instantly failed and it's therefore a quote unquote bad week. If you've worked with me before, you would have heard me say this. We want to always be understanding, aware, and accepting of our reality, of our nutrition, and how it's all going to tie in together. Too many people, I think I spoke about this in the last episode as well, too many people will do something really intense or really restrictive, hope that everything's going to work out for them. Hopefully my week goes perfectly. I can get all the workouts done. I can stick to my shitty diet, all of this thing. If we have real education and understanding of nutrition, we don't have to hope for results. And we also don't have to hope that everything works in our favor and then freak out when it doesn't. If something came up, like if somebody did ask you to go out for tea, if something came up where you did have to run around for your kids all day and you couldn't eat the way you normally would eat or you couldn't train the way you normally would train, do you have the education and the understanding to pivot and still have a good day of eating to suit what's happening at that time? That is the number one thing I want people to walk away with when they work with me, is being able to structure their nutrition to suit them, to suit random days like that, but to also suit phases of your life. When life is good and nutrition and training is a super high priority, I kill it. And then if I can't do that, everything goes to shit. We want to be able to pivot and structure for what else is happening in our life at the time. So coming back to what I was saying about seeking education and really understanding how to do that. So whatever you're going to go into for the new year, whether it is a challenge, whether it is a program, a diet, you're going to hire someone, you're going to join something, really just ask, can I see myself doing this long term? And am I truly learning how to manage my nutrition for all aspects of life? So that is my advice for anyone who is still in that beginner phase or really just trying to find their feet with their nutrition and training in 2023. But now I want to speak more to the girls that are a bit ahead of the game in that sense. These are the girls who know all that stuff I just mentioned, and they have a genuine interest in nutrition and training. They make it a high priority. It's not something where they need to find motivation or find accountability. They already have that shit in place because they actually just genuinely enjoy it and want to go for it. These are the type of girls I love to work with in Eat Like Ruby. These are the type of girls we work with in Eat Like Queens. So if anyone is in Eat Like Queens right now, coming into Eat Like Queens in the next round in May, this is you. We call these girls the gym baddies, meaning they love gym. They're just badasses in the gym. They genuinely want their nutrition and training to work together. They want to prioritize it. They just want to send it. They love it. So I'm going to speak to you guys. Like I said, everything we just spoke about earlier still applies to you guys, but for most of these girls, they already know all this stuff and it's not too much of an issue. They found their groove. My biggest piece of advice and the biggest thing I do with girls in this position is we want to look at the year as a whole. For girls in this position, we usually find that they'll have a body composition goal and performance goals. And then we still also have all of those lifestyle factors that we mentioned before, like holidays, busy times of year, things like that. So what I like to do with these girls is look at the year as a whole and say, if we do want to achieve certain performance goals, whether that be gym goals like hitting a certain weight on a hip thrust, getting a certain amount of pull-ups, or performance-based goals in terms of, you know, running a 5K, some of these girls want to do things like triathlons, powerlifting competitions, anything like that, we want to look at those goals and make sure we obviously spend a certain amount of time really prioritizing that. And then if we have a body composition goal, for these girls, sometimes there's the goal of muscle gain and fat loss, but usually there is a fat loss goal at some point. Everybody wants to have some point of the year where they knuckle down a little bit more, lose a little bit of body fat, which is awesome. We can totally do that. That is exactly what we do. But we really want to start to look at the facts in this situation. If we have performance-based goals, let's say a super common one is hip thrust goals. People want to hit a certain weight on a hip thrust or they want to get a certain amount of pull-ups. For so many girls, they're trying to hit the triple-digit hip thrust. They want the 100-kilo hip thrust, which is awesome. I love this. This is where we really want to start thinking. If there are goals for the year to drop body fat, hit a heavy hip thrust and get better at pull-ups, we need to decide at what times we would prioritize what ones. If we think about performance-based goals of lifting heavier weights, running faster, doing things in a better time, competing in something like a triathlon, like a powerlifting competition, those things, we touched on this really briefly in the last episode, those things have a huge energetic demand on the body. The body is going to require more energy than normal to pull those things off. If we're going to ask our body to do something that it hasn't done before, like we want to hit a PB, a personal best, with a weight or a time or a run or something, we are asking our body to do something that it has not done before, meaning it's going to require more energy coming in to do that. If we then have a fat loss goal, like I said, these people tend to want to pursue fat loss at some point too, we know, like we spoke about last week, the body has to be deficient in energy to do that. We have to have less energy coming in than the body needs to pursue fat loss. So if we pursue these things at the same time, it just doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense at all. And we say in the industry, people always say this is like chasing two rabbits. If people want to hit really heavy weights and pursue muscle gain and they want to pursue fat loss, it's like chasing two rabbits. You aren't going to catch either. You're going to be spinning your wheels. If you fuck one rabbit off and just pursue one, you're going to have a way better chance of catching it. So this is where we want to start to look at the year as a whole. And I don't mean in terms of being like you know, on February 2nd, we'll do this, and on April 24th, we'll do this. But just looking, if I do want to work on this performance goal, it might take 3 months, 4 months. If I do want to pursue a fat loss goal, it might take 3 months. At what times of the year will I do each of these things? And this is when we then want to look at the external factors in our life as well. Like I said, these girls tend to prioritize nutrition and training. So we're always going to work these things in. But if we know we've got a holiday or we've got a big study block, a big exam block coming up, if we've got other things happening, it makes sense to make sure what we're doing at the time with nutrition and training is going to work with that and support that. What tends to happen here, if people do this, if you're someone who's going into the new year thinking, I want to fucking send it in the gym, I want to hit all these heavy lifts, I want to drop body fat, I want to do it all right now, people tend to find themselves in another really shitty loop when they do this. If we go into the week, let's say on a Monday, we're like, yep, I'm going in, like calorie deficit, fat loss, I'm doing it and I'm hitting the gym. People will go in, they'll nail those lower calories, they'll get their training session done, but it won't be as optimal as it could be because like I said, you've nailed a day of lower calories. So if we're in a calorie deficit, we know that's an energy deficit, we have less energy coming in than the body needs that day. That's the point because we're trying to pursue fat loss. But then we've gone and pulled off a high volume training session to pursue these performance goals, but we haven't performed optimally or as optimally as we could in that session because we don't have the energy to do so. So people tend to do this maybe like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. As the week goes on, that training is really taking it out of you because you're fucking sending it in the gym, which is awesome, but you're on those low calories, which can be shit. And as the week goes on, we start to pick at things, we start to snack at things, we start to eat a little bit more. Usually this happens to an extent where a person then starts to come out of their calorie deficit. Like you're eating enough now that you don't have that deficit in place. Therefore, we've put a halt on fat loss progress. And we're doing this because we're hungry. If we're sending it in the gym and we're fucking killing it and we're lifting heavy weights, we're going to start to get hungrier. People do this and they start bringing in those extra meals and everything, and we put a halt on that fat loss progress. And then people start to get into that mindset of like, oh, I've fallen a little bit off track with my goal. Like I wanted to be in a deficit. Now I'm not in a deficit. Everything's a little off track. And sometimes what can happen here is they feel like there's no point training then. I should skip training. Like I should start again on Monday, whatever it might be, because my week's kind of messed up now. The shitty thing here is now we've actually taken in enough energy to pull off a week of training session, but people think that they've fucked it, so they may as well skip training and start again next week. And it's like the one time you probably would have really nailed that session, you've actually pulled the pin on the session because you think that everything's coming undone. So if we start to piece all this together, we find ourselves in a position where because we're chasing those two rabbits and we're trying to pursue everything at once, we've got a few days where we're hungry and we're not training that well. We've then got a few days where we overeat enough to offset those hungry days and we lose our fat loss progress. We might skip a gym session here or there because we feel like we're spinning our wheels. And then all of a sudden we actually are spinning our wheels. We're not hitting those performance goals because we're not consistent with training. We're not hitting our fat loss goals because we're not consistent with the deficit. And all this comes down to, and then like I said, people will suddenly then be like, oh, I'm going on a holiday. And then we find ourselves in this position where we go on a holiday and you're low-key kind of like, oh, I wanted to achieve fat loss before my holiday and that didn't happen and my training's a bit off track and now I really want to enjoy my holiday, but I sort of can't wait to get back and get back on track. And then we find ourselves in this position where we wanted to nail it with nutrition and we haven't really done that. We wanted to nail it with training. We haven't really done that. We wanted to enjoy our holiday and we haven't really done that. And all of a sudden it's like we love nutrition and training and we're spending a lot of time and energy on these things, but they're just not cohesive and they're not tying in well together. So this is where, like I said earlier, having that understanding, the awareness and the acceptance of what is going to make sense to work on at different times and then stepping back, looking at the year as a whole and just having a bit of a rough idea about this is the time when I would pursue fat loss. Knowing that performance goals will go on the back burner a little bit at this time. And just as a side note, it's not like when we pursue fat loss, training absolutely goes to shit, or when we're, you know, eating enough to fuel training, we're suddenly going to get huge. But it's just about, like I said, understanding, being aware and being accepting of what the priority is and then what the little trade-offs are and what just has to go on the back burner. So, like I said before, these are the girls that I love to work with. These are the girls we work with in Eat Like Queens. And this is something that we do. I like to educate girls on everything I just told you. And then we have a look at how does this apply for you personally? What are your goals performance-wise? What are your goals body comp-wise? And what does the rest of the year look like for you? And obviously, we don't have to know all these things 100%. Like, we don't have to know what we're doing in November next year. But most people, if they do have like a big holiday or something big coming up, like it's the final year of study, big exams or whatever, we're aware of those things. And we just want to keep them in the back of our mind. The last thing we want to do, like I said, is set up our whole year, tee up a really aggressive fat loss phase in August and September, and then have you turn around in September and say, oh, you know, I'm going overseas for 4 months. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So this is where we just want to give that bit of an oversight of the year, work out what's happening for you, and then just put that loose plan in place. Like I said, it's as simple as saying, you know, for the next 3 months, I'll focus on this, then for 4 months, I'll focus on this, and then we'll pursue fat loss towards the back end of the year. The plan can be that simple, but then we have an idea of what to focus on now. And we also, when we have the education and the understanding of all of this, we can do it a lot easier because we know that the time is coming where we're going to focus on different things. And what I mean by that is if we do pursue a performance goal or a muscle gain goal, we know there might be a little bit of weight gain with that. And it's nothing crazy. We're literally talking like 2 or 3 kilos. But if you're someone that's really in tune with your body, you can notice that difference. You can notice that difference in 3 kilos. If we understand the point of putting on that 3 kilos and the benefit of putting on that 3 kilos, and we also know that we have the knowledge and the skill of exactly how to pursue fat loss when the time is right, and we have that locked in for some point later in the year, we can happily go into this gaining phase or this performance phase knowing like this just makes sense for me to do right now, and then the time will come where I get this off and I feel fucking great. And we still feel fucking great when we pursue the muscle gain and the performance goal because it's coming from a really educated, controlled place. You're like, this is my goal and this is what I understand and know to be the best plan to put in place to achieve that goal right now. Like, it all just makes sense. Nothing is coming from that place of desperation or being lost or not knowing what to do. We know what to do and we're just making an educated plan about how best to do it all so that we can pull it all off. So obviously, like I said, this will depend on the individual with the goals and what the rest of the year looks like. But a really good way to do this, I personally have done this over the years, a lot of my Eat Like Queen girls do this, is to look at the cooler months, if we look at like winter, and use those as a time to get out of a calorie deficit. And the reason we do this is because, like I said, we might find ourselves in a position where there is a little bit of weight gain, we're maybe just not feeling as comfortable in our body. I really just want a side note. It's not about if we are not in a deficit, we're suddenly going the complete opposite direction and stacking on the weight. It's just that we're not our most absolute leanest, lightest, and most shredded. But if we have a muscle gain goal or a performance goal, we know that it doesn't make sense to be in that position anyway. So coming back to that, if we know there's going to be a little buffer of a couple of kilos while we fucking send it with these other goals, it makes sense to do that in winter. If we tell someone to do that the week before summer, they're just not going to feel great. So why would we do it? And this is where we piece it all together and we have that understanding and the awareness and the acceptance, but we also want to tap into the fact that we're human beings. I feel like most of my listeners are female. Nobody wants to be a female actively pursuing weight gain going into summer. Well, I should say most females don't want to actively pursue weight gain going into summer. And that's totally fine to acknowledge. And this is where we say, okay, cool. What does make sense then? What would feel more comfortable? How do I actually make this work for me? And then we bring in more of the enjoyment because we're not doing something that we don't want to be doing. We're not feeling like shit at a time where we don't want to feel like that. So coming back to the plan, if we do that for winter, if we say, you know, through May, June, July, August, I'm going to intentionally eat at my maintenance calories or even a little bit more if I do want to see some muscle gain. I'm going to really focus on those performance goals with structured training. We're not so focused on body composition. Like, we don't have to look at pictures every week. We don't have to look at weight every week. We know that that's not the priority right now. And like I said, we know the time will come where we can make that the priority again. So we spend those few months through the winter eating enough to really fuel those performance goals, put on some muscle if we want to. And then we look on the other side of that, whether it's August, September, October, about implementing a fat loss phase. And all of this will come down to the individual, like I said, depending on the goals and depending on exactly what the goals are. How much weight is there to lose? How much weight is there to gain? Will obviously depend on how long we want to do these things for. But that can be a really rough plan. So spending time out of a calorie deficit and making sure we're eating enough is obviously awesome for performance goals and muscle gain goals, but it's also awesome for our health. If we think about it, if you are a person in this position, if you're listening to all this thinking, yep, this really applies to me, I am a gym baddie, this all makes sense to me, you probably don't have a lot of weight to lose. And one thing we find when there's a lack of education, even with these girls, is that they spend the whole year simply trying to eat well and being on a diet for the sake of the fact that they are a gym baddie. I'm a gym person. I'm a Fitspo person. So I'm always dieting. And this is where education is so fucking important for these people, because it's like, dieting for what? So many people will just be like, you know, I'm dieting. I'm eating well. Eating well for a fat loss goal and eating well to do 100 kilo hip thrust are two completely different things. So if your approach to nutrition is to simply eat well, it's just not enough to really optimize all of those goals and optimize whatever the goal is at a certain time. It's also super beneficial to have times of eating enough to fuel our overall health. Things like energy, training performance, mood, sleep, libido, hormone health, hunger, cravings, all of these things take such a hit when we're in a calorie deficit. And this is why we want to really have an intentional fat loss phase and then have intentional times not pursuing fat loss, out of a deficit, eating enough food and optimizing those things. Coming back to what I was just saying about eating well, if the simple plan is to eat well and there's no more depth to it, we don't know how we're fueling those things. How are we supporting those things? And then making sure everything ties in well for your performance goals, body composition goals, fueling and supporting your health, and all of that working with the rest of your lifestyle. And the last little bit that I want to speak to for these girls is, if you are someone in a position where you don't have a lot of weight to lose, so often we're so used to pursuing weight loss or fat loss because most of us have been conditioned to do that our whole life. But if we really look and there's not a large amount of body fat to lose, if we've got less than 10 kilos to lose, let's say, and you're someone who is consistent with nutrition and consistent with training, we do not want to spend big prolonged times during the year in a calorie deficit. We see this all the time where people are just constantly pursuing that bit more fat loss, constantly pursuing weight loss, constantly on a diet, like I said, because they're just so used to doing so. This is where we want to take that education and that understanding to the next level and say, there are so many other things I want to work on. Even if it is a body composition goal, even if the goal for most of these girls, the goal is actually to be more lean, more toned, have better legs, have a bigger booty, whatever it might be, this is where we want to take our education, our understanding, and say, what is actually the requirement of that goal? If we want to build better legs, build a better butt, the requirements for that goal are actually going to be to be eating more, to be fueling the training sessions, to actually pull those things off, as opposed to, like I said, coming back to just being on a diet or eating well. We want to look deeper and say, like, what is the requirement to do those things? If we piece all those things together, so often we associate having a better body composition with being lighter and losing weight and dropping body fat. But if we really take that final look and say, well, the goal is actually to be leaner, to be more built, to be more toned, whatever it might be, there's going to be a time where we need to prioritize actually building that body and pursuing muscle gain, as opposed to, like I said, always being on a diet, always being in a deficit. So coming back from my tangent, if you are someone in this position Usually we want to spend 3 to 4 months of the year max in a deficit. We legit want to spend like 3 times the amount of that time out of a deficit, whether that be simply eating at our maintenance, like around the amount of food that's going to result in us maintaining weight, maintaining body fat levels, all of that thing, or if we do want to push it a little bit further and pursue muscle gain. But we don't want to just fuck around and hang around in a deficit for months on end and drag that out through the year. The two reasons that we don't want to do this, and this is where I'm going to wrap it up. The two reasons that we don't want to do this is we tend to find ourselves in that loop, like I said before, where we're chasing the two rabbits. We're kind of nailing the deficit and we're kind of falling out of it. We're kind of training well, but we're not training as well as we could be. So we're kind of progressing with all of these things, but we're not definitely actually progressing with all of those things. So we have those goals of wanting to look better, wanting to train better, but we're kind of spinning our wheels. We're stuck in that loop because we've dragged out this deficit and we're just over it, for lack of a better word. We hit a point where it all starts to just get a little bit sloppy. And then the other reason is that we want to spend time optimizing, like I've said a million times, training, performance, and muscle gain, but also those other health factors like hormones, mood, sleep, libido, stress, cravings, hunger, energy, all of those things. If we can have a clear, definite fat loss phase around that 3 or 4 month mark, really knuckle down, get the result that we want, and then get out of it, we can spend majority of the year with all of those things sitting in a wicked position, eating enough food that it's actually enjoyable. We stick to it majority of the time. We're in good health. We're training well. And we're actually building the body that we want. So often, a dragged out deficit that is becoming less and less effective and less adherent and consistent starts to result in things just maintaining and standing still. Because like I said, we're kind of training for muscle gain. We're kind of dieting for fat loss, but we're not actually achieving anything because of those clashes with all of those things that we've spoken about. So my biggest pieces of advice from today's episode are, number one, to just be open-minded. Make that realistic assessment of where you're at, where your nutrition and training is at, where you want them to go, where the rest of your life is at, and how it can all actually tie in together in a realistic, sustainable, enjoyable way. If you are listening to this episode as soon as it drops in early Jan and you do fall into one of these categories, either being a beginner or being a gym baddie, I do have my 10-week program kicking off at the end of January, which is perfect for beginners or for the gym baddies that want to get straight into something, because we do have the next round of Eat Like Queens kicking off in May. So you can apply for that one right now. But if you're a beginner and you just want to get started and actually learn, like I've said, how to understand nutrition, how to get that education, and how to apply it for you, the 10-week program is perfect. If you are a next level gym baddie and you want to apply for Eat Like Queens, go for it. And if you do want to do that and join the 10-week program in the meantime, a lot of girls are doing that, which is awesome. And no matter who you are, where you fall on the scale, what you're doing, make sure you subscribe, because that next episode about do's and don'ts for New Year's training will drop next week. Make sure you're following me on Insta, eat_like_Ruby. And that is all from me today.